Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live weekly prophecy reality edition. Yes, one day a week in the studios of FirstAmendmentRadio.net or .com. We turn on the video cam and open up the chat room and engage the culture. The rest of the week during this broadcast, we have pre-recorded programs, which I hope everyone is enjoying. And at request, I did rerun the Millennium Question both last week and this week. So get it while it's all in there if you really want your free audible copy of it. It's totally loaded on our app, our Mobi app right now, our podcast app. They're all there. Or you can also get a link. You can go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com or no, .net. Go to .net /MP3s. That's MP3s, as in plural, MP3s. And it'll open up the file folder on our server that has all of our current podcasts in it. Okay, what are we doing today? Well, I got a copy of this. This the U.S. edges closer to passing digital ID legislation. And started to read this article, and it says, "We obtained a copy of the bill for you here." So I just went to the bill itself, and there now it's blacked out on my screen. That's, I love it when that happens. That's, I guess I need to reload that. I was already on reading page 4. There it is. And it's quite an interesting bill. And if I read this bill, I would have a lot to say about it. And is this news, or should we save this for the second hour? I don't know. Let's just do news and current events for the first segment, and then maybe we'll jump into this piece of legislation that the government, for your benefit, of course, wants to have enacted for you. So anyway, let's take a look and see what I have up here as far as our tabbed reports. Let's see. Well, we have to start with the Babylon Bee. And, of course, I like this one. I guess it looks like everybody can hear me in the chat room, so that, because nobody's saying they can't. So good to see you here, Eric Dale, and me. That's all that's in the chat room right now. But I'm glad you're there, and everyone must be hearing good. Oh, the 5x5? Yeah. That means that everything is A-OK on the broadcasting front here. Okay, so we have pressure mounting for Candace Owens to grow a beard. I never see Candace Owens. Who's this other guy? Matt Walsh. I really don't know who he is. I guess I really don't get around enough. I've heard the name before. And then there's this other guy, Ben Shapiro, a conservative, of course, rabidly anti-Jesus because he is a Jew. But I won't hold that against him. But he might hold being a Christian against me. But boy, he does not like Jesus at all. Anyway, and you can hear it from his own mouth if you don't believe me. But Christians love him. Yeah, that, you know, your mainstream Christians love him because he is conservative. There you go. I think we need to be careful. Who we're listening to and what their true motives are. But some of their motives do match up. I mean, not their motives, but some of their, the things that they want, the ends match up with, our ends, but their means and their motives may be different. And I think we need to be careful when we're promoting other people because of their, you know, their motivation and what it really is. Okay. Looter spotted trying to enter Mar-a-Lago after Hurricane Ian. Oh, look, the FBI is back at it. Yes, the FBI. Boy. Yeah, I sent that out on various, I started a Substack too. It's like, oh my goodness, just when I need one more thing to do. But I figure if I'm going to publish my WordPress site, that I might as well just duplicate it on Substack and also duplicate it across all of these social media. So I have a browser over here just for that. Well, just for that and the chat room. And it's called Brave. The browser is called Brave anyway. But anyway, so I have Sovereign, Getter, Gab, Parler, Twitter, and Facebook all in there. So I can just tweet, post, whatever they call it on whatever, all at the same time. Just takes a few extra minutes. If I'm going to do it once, I might as well do it 7 times, right? And we'll see. If nobody pays attention to it, that's fine. But whoever God wants to see whatever I post will see it. Anyway, I set out a post because I was watching something called Tubi, TUBI.TV, and it's free TV. And they had on there Eugenics to Pandemic. It's about a 3-hour. I watched about 2 hours of this documentary. And it was a liberal documentary, I believe. Because liberals, but this would be an old-fashioned liberal, you know, the kind that stands up against the government. Of course, they did a lot of liberals, they wanted to stand up against the government for liberty. But the ones that don't care about liberty, they have evil agendas. They don't want to stand up against the government if they can get the government to license their evil. See, so there are two different kinds of liberals. Liberals that want liberty and liberals that want the liberty to do evil. There you go. Well, I want liberty, but I don't want the liberty to do evil. As a matter of fact, I have requested from God that I could erase all of the evil that's in my mind and all of the evil things I've seen and I've heard and just erase them completely from my mind. Kind of like you would erase, you know, sentences out of a paragraph that you're writing or pages out of a book, and just so that I would never think about them or be tempted by evil again. But God said no. Yeah. He says, later, dude. Yeah. In the resurrection, I will grant that plea and that prayer. So, yeah, and he will grant it in the resurrection. But until then, we have to fight with all of our might against the evil that's even in our own flesh. And Paul said it the best. He said, it's no longer I who sin, but sin that dwelleth in me. And he could only come to that conclusion because he's trying to overcome the sin that is in his flesh and realizes that it is futile to attempt to be perfect, but it is not futile to become perfected. And that's what we are called to do as God's people. We are called to be in the process of being perfected, of course, at God's speed and not our own. Because like I said, I'd like to jump ahead, erase all the evil, and so that I never even think it, see it, or be tempted by it again. But, yeah. And God does have a sea of forgetfulness for our sins. So when he looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees Jesus. Yes, thank you for that, Dale. Yeah. Marketing techniques. Oh, yeah, right. Yes, all that I have time for. Tom. Anyway, good to see you in the chat room. We still have Dale, Tom, and Eric now. Okay. So anyway, looters dressed in FBI garb. See, spotted trying to, yeah, that's a good one there. All right. If you eat oatmeal, I think that's a commercial. Oh, yeah, it is. Here's one for you. We have a big hubbub in California between John MacArthur calling out Gavin Newsom, the Jesuit Gavin Newsom. So here's the comedy part. Newsom demands John MacArthur the Baptist's head on a platter. And, you know, it's fitting because John MacArthur is Reformed, but he is a Reformed Baptist. Yes, that's right. Grace Fellowship, John MacArthur's church, of which he's pastor over, is a Reformed Baptist church. There you go. Yeah, there's such a thing, isn't there? Yeah. See, I've been a Catholic. I was raised a Catholic, born a Catholic, went to Mass as a child and teenager. Of course, didn't have a clue what was going on there. It's kind of like I was totally blind to all of that, and my mind must have been elsewhere. And then, of course, I attended Baptist and evangelical churches after that in Calvary Chapel. But at further study and my years with Truth Radio and then First Amendment Radio, I became Reformed myself. So I could be a Reformed Catholic and Baptist. But I guess if you're a Reformed Baptist, you remain a Baptist, but you're a Reformed Baptist. But do you remain a Reformed Catholic? No. You become a Protestant. That's how that works. Okay, let's see what else they got here. Any more funny stuff? Whatever. Okay. Let's see. Boardroom demons applaud as CEO Satan suggests rebranding child sacrifice as women's health care. Yeah. Yeah, like everybody has hordes in this corporate boardroom here, including Satan, of course. Look. It's not abortion. It's not killing the life of a child. It's women's health care. And, well, that's the truth, isn't it? I was just tweeting birds. Let's see. NFL fires neurologist after learning his concussion protocol was just to look for cartoon tweeting birds flying around players' head. Yeah, I love the old cartoons with the Tweety Birds flying around the head of those that were concussed, I should say. Okay, well, let's see if we actually have a caller. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Okay, we know the phone ringer works, but the speaker doesn't. Yeah, right. All right. Well, anyway, that's the funny stuff. Yeah. So we will jump to some more serious stuff now here. Let's see. Babylon Bee. Here's the hard truth. This is from the Babylon Bee, but I think it's the hard truth. The Federal Reserve is the culprit behind inflation, national debt, high taxes, and big government. Well, true, true, and true, but it's only one layer between the Antichrist and those things happening. Because all of those things are happening because the Antichrist wants them to happen. And when the Antichrist gets full control, well, you get what's happening in America right now. But how far it will go, it's gone pretty far. Yeah. Well, remains up to us. God has given us hope as far as the prophecy about America in the scripture notifies us, because I believe that America is the seventh beast power enumerated in the Revelation, and there being seven beast powers enumerated, and an eighth being one of the seven which reasserts itself, which would be dumb if seven and eight were the same thing, then it would just be seven followed by seven. So the eighth has to be the one before number 7 because it was Rome. And we learn from Daniel that Rome goes to perdition at the return of Christ. So all the answers are in the scripture there in the apocalyptic prophecies of both Daniel and Revelation when you put them together. And of course, I did write a book about that called The Beast Apocalyptic. And I do have a copy of that. And the subtitle tells it all. It's, the subtitle is An Exposition of the Apocalyptic Beast Powers and Related Symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. So, and I've also played that on the air for free 2 weeks in a row. So, and likely will again, especially because I'm so overwhelmed with work and everything that I have to do that I'm having a hard time. I've started to record, to continue pre-recording Isaiah, which I got about halfway through, I believe, at least half, maybe halfway through. But it's just finding the time to do it. And then the heat has been a problem. And then my studio, it's not quiet enough or private enough that I can avoid interruptions. So I'm working on it. And, we'll get it out there. I just have to let go of some other things, I think. But anyway, so they say we must abolish the Federal Reserve. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Federal Reserve and what happens when we abolish the Fed. No, I don't think so. I think we're going to have CBDC Fed coin eventually. And yes, we must continue to resist against that when the time comes. Let's see, what else do we have here? We've got some American Thinker articles. I had some all lined up, but again, my browser restarted, so I lost all my tabs. That keeps happening, but I did line out a few more. And it's funny, there's so much news that comes up that I get all new tabs with all new news. But my comments always, you know, kind of run in the same direction. That is prophecy, reality, worldview. So, why Trump must run. And we have this. The cemeteries may be full of indispensable men, but Donald Trump is not in the cemetery yet. Well, let's check it out. The final take on the disastrous Mar-a-Lago raid and its noxious aftermath, the latest in a series of killing blows aimed at Donald Trump and the movement he created, is that Trump must run once again for president and must win. The logic behind this is simple. The deep state, in its slow, dull-witted, and utterly inept way, is making its big move, and Trump is the only visible figure who can stand against this. The left is well aware of this and is terrified. Yeah, you know, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We can only hope that if Donald Trump gets in, that he's learned from the past. This time, they'll have to assassinate him. And will they? Will the Antichrist and his deep state shadow government, would they assassinate somebody or give them the poison cup or use directed energy weapons against them? Did Donald really take the Trump shot? No, I don't think he did. I hope he doesn't, but yeah, these are all questions which we don't have answers for. We can only live and see. And then there's Ron DeSantis, who may be a better choice than Donald Trump, but I think Florida would be, hard pressed to let go of, Ron DeSantis. So at this point, you know, we're still moving up on the 2022 midterm elections, and all we can do is wait and see. I mean, Donald Trump is older. He's in his late 70s, I believe. Not quite sure, but yeah. Pretty sure he's in his late 70s somewhere. And I'm hitting the big 70 next year myself. So, and people start dropping dead at that age and before that, especially if they've taken the Trump shot, where do I get the Trump shot, the jab, the kill shot? Yeah. Whatever you want to call it. I get that from David Knight. He calls it the Trump shot. Yeah, but it's pretty much the kill shot. Trump was duped, at least, maybe. If I give him the benefit of the doubt, he was duped by his ego, and they just knew just how to stroke him so that he would take credit for it and be hard pressed to let go of it. And somehow he still is. I know people boo him at his own events where tens of thousands of people show up when he says anything, that is positive about the shot, they boo him instantly. See, these people, they're not there for Trump, and Trump doesn't realize that yet. Because if they're willing to boo him when he mentions the jab, he should get a clue. These people aren't here for me. They're here for the things that I've done that they like, which is far greater than you're going to get from Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. I mean, the third term of Barack Obama, led by the puppet pretender in chief. Okay. Because it really is the third term of Barack Obama. When you look at all the people in the White House behind the scenes, many of them there are the exact same characters. And, you know, they had the big thing about, Hunter Biden's laptop and his emails about the big guy. But it really doesn't make sense, because there was be one person involved in that whole thing during the scandals and all of the corruption that was going on, in, you know, with the Ukraine and Hunter Biden and his father. There was a third operator, and that was the big guy, the guy whose name you were never supposed to mention. And the big guy was Barack Obama. The more I think about it, the more I look at it, the more logical it becomes that Barack Obama was the big guy. His name was never mentioned, and that was likely a no-no that they would never do, is mention the big guy's name. And he still is the big guy. Yeah, he still is the big guy. Anyway, we have more to talk about after we get back from these messages. You're listening to Across the Border, a live prophecy reality news edition. I'm Nicholas Arthur, and you're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.net. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there, or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And you can see I have behind me on the screen there my People's Platform. And number one is End All Emergencies. Yes, go back as far as there is in history and end all emergencies. Just think how much we could probably get rid of half of the government right there, federal government, that is. Number two is revoke all executive orders. Yes, get rid of the bump stock. Thank you, Donald Trump, for the only executive order infringing upon the Second Amendment. But revoke all executive orders, every single one of them. And and let's learn to live with it, okay? Because they're all unconstitutional to begin with. Actually, they aren't unconstitutional. Executive orders from the president only apply to the executive branch, and he has every right to apply executive orders to the executive branch. But when he writes an executive order and the people mistakenly believe that it applies to the whole country and everyone else, and see, that's dangerous, because then even local authorities think that you should be arrested for disobeying an executive order of the president, as if he was the king or something, you know, with absolute dictatorship rule. So executive orders, they should all be revoked as they apply to anything other than strictly to the administration of the executive branch. Okay. Number three. Mandatory sentences for all politicians who violate their oath of office. Immediately. And, you know, any group of citizens can bring a class action suit to have, you know, any voters in any district or whatever could bring a suit against any politician for violating their oath. Or lying. Okay? Making a promise, but breaking that promise. See, because if they have to break the promise, they have to tell people they're breaking the promise and why they're breaking it before they break it. Yeah. What about that? Oh, Matt Walsh did the documentary, What is a Woman? Okay, I haven't seen it yet, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to see it. Do I have to pay for it? I give my stuff away free. Can he give his stuff away free too? Anyways, give me a link to that. I'd like to see it, but I'm really not confused about what a woman is, but I guess it is a curiosity to find out the political arguments that they're using. But we all, I kind of get it just by the title. Like I said, I have no confusion about what a woman is. Absolutely not. I'm really sorry that America has come to this place in its history where people are confused about gender. So confused that, that you have to have a documentary to tell them what a woman is. But I guess if we have a woman on the Supreme Court and she doesn't know what a woman is, what have we come to? That woman should not be on the Supreme Court. She is incompetent to be on the Supreme Court. But I'm getting way off here. Anyway, so there's the People's Platform. Spread it around. Whatever you can do with it. Copy it there. Take a screenshot of it here. I'll get out of the way. Take your screenshot. There it is. You can pause. Take a screenshot of it. And spread it around on all your social media. It can become a meme. Yeah. Memes. What a thing. Okay, well, let's get back to the news here. And because I was wondering, because only three people showed up in the chat room, I was wondering, did I really post my post this morning announcing my live show? And yeah, I did, because I've accidentally, made the post, but forgot to push the post the post button before. And that's when nobody at all showed up. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so we got news. Oh, yeah, and we were talking about this article, Why Trump Must Run. Well, if he's alive, he must run. And if he's alive and in good health, which he seems to be right now, he's got a lot more going on than the pretender-in-chief over there that's sitting in the seat that he was voted into right now. But it's his own fault, you know, when you listen to David Knight, it's his own fault. Hopefully he will have learned enough to be able to wield the government and actually fire 80 to 90% of the people in Washington, D.C. All he has to do is follow my platform. Yeah, that's all he's got to do. Follow the platform. See, and that'll even get rid of his bump stock nonsense, which the Supreme Court just said, nah, we're not doing that. They're not going to rule on executive orders. See, because, as I said, executive orders only apply to the executive branch of government. Nothing else. Yeah, thank you for that, Eric. I'll check it out after the broadcast. So there it is. You know, executive orders only, and I'm not, okay, now, but here's something. If you are incorporated with the federal government, because I had a conversation with a friend of mine who had abdicated and stopped using the Social Security number, but he gave in to pressure and he began to use it again. So, well, you're going to get no condemnation from me because there is no condemnation in Christ. For those that walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And Jesus didn't come to condemn the world because the world was already condemned. He came to save the world. And so, you know, whatever anyone does is between them and God Almighty. Because I know most people probably even listening to me are incorporated with the state. And that's what it's like. You know, if your church is incorporated with the state, and I don't hold against the churches, you know, the people, those congregations, most of them are totally ignorant, including most of the pastors about the incorporation thing. And it seems almost like a moot point, like it almost means nothing, but it is a means of control and it does have an effect, regardless of what anyone thinks. And as far as being incorporated with the state on a personal level, are you, do those executive orders adhere to you if you're incorporated with the federal government? I guess that's the legal question. And that is how they act. That is the proposition that they act on, that if you are incorporated with the state or the federal government, then you belong to them because you've accepted the fiction, and now the fiction can deal with you. Not saying that people acting for the fiction can't beat the living life out of you, you know, if they have a notion, or kill you or persecute you, because they can do all those things, even if you're not incorporated. It all gets down to perhaps what God allows. But anyway, end all emergencies, revoke all executive orders, and mandatory sentences for all politicians who violate their oath of office or lie to the people and break their word. Yeah. So that would make a lot of them think twice, you know, because you're supposed to keep your word. Even, you know, this is the biblical standard, the standard that I live by. I haven't always lived by it, and I haven't always lived up to it, but I'll try my best, as far as a flesh and blood man can, to always keep my word, even to my own hurt. That means if I make a bad deal where someone else benefits and I lose more than I thought I was going to lose, that I'll keep that word. Unless the other person lets me off the hook, then we've agreed to alter the agreement. But if they insist and they have my word, then I have to keep my word to my own hurt. And that it actually says that in so many words in the Bible. Yeah, everyone, yes, I thought of that at least a half a dozen times, Dale. No new taxes, yeah. So he should have kept his word to his own hurt, yeah. Says, okay, I gave my word, no new taxes. I'm not going to, I don't care what it costs me. I'm not going to pass it. I'm not going to sign any new taxes into law. Thank you, George Bush. But you are a liar, and you should have been prosecuted. You should have been sued for damages. See, because we should be able to sue politicians for damages when they don't keep their word. We voted them in on their word in good confidence that, say, George Bush would not sign any legislation that would put any new taxes on the people. But he did. So we should sue him for damages. He owes us for all of those taxes as the people. And we should have been able to strip him of all of his wealth for damages against the people that, yeah. So that's the way that would work. That would make politicians think twice or three times before they gave their word and then broke it. Now, there may be dire necessity where they have no choice but to break their word or whatever, but that's all to be determined. Yeah. But now the rule is, well, I can give my word and I can break it. And nobody can do anything to me about it except vote me out of office next time. Well, that's not good enough. You know, if I commit perjury to the government, they'll put me in jail for it. But if the government or politicians commit perjury to the people, what, nothing? Oh, well, I won't get voted for next time unless I have enough money to buy enough votes or whatever. Or I can, you know, what? Yeah. So that's no punishment at all. So there's nothing to refrain them from breaking their word, obviously, because they give their word all the time and then they break it. So there it is. If I were a voter and I could push a platform through, this would be it. Donald Trump. Check it out. Send this to Donald Trump, the people's platform. And I'm sure he'll get it if he reads it. At least I hope he's intelligent enough. It would be hard for anyone to be less intelligent than the guy that's fronting for the presidency right now. Yeah. The one with the strings attached to him. Okay. So anyway, that's enough on why Trump must run. And this article is on American Thinker, so if you really want to check it out, there's a lot of these articles. They keep coming out continually about why Trump should run, and I'm sure he will if he's alive and able to. Whether he'll win or not, whether there'll be cheating, yes, there'll be cheating. Of course there'll be cheating. Since when don't we have cheating now? It's just, will their cheating be enough? Well, it wasn't enough last time, and it became so obvious. But like I said, we must resist. We must push back. And so we can keep that equilibrium so that the evil doesn't completely overwhelm the good. So the dragon speaking division of America does not overwhelm the lamb-like qualities of that are infused in this nation and its good God-fearing and conservative people. Yes, we still have drop boxes. Yeah, well, like I said, Trump's own fault for even allowing that. He should have, instead of using his executive order, usurped power to do away with bump stocks, he should have done away with drop boxes. Just saying. He should have done a lot of things. Yeah. I wonder if he sits around sometimes. Oh, I should have did this and I should have did that. Yeah, I bet he does. So it may work out. Well, it's all going to work out. Let's see. Scary neighbors in age of democratic totalitarianism. If ideology is the unreachable perfection of human governance, then politics is the direction we happen to be facing while considering our next move to that end. Yeah. Well, we do have a lot of scary neighbors out there. You know, will they, you know, because of the not just the bump stock laws, but it was the red flag laws. That was the other one. That's the scary one. Because if someone calls you, I mean, if someone reports you as being, you know, if they red flag you, then some of these governments will just overrun your house, take all your guns, and threaten you with jail because someone, you know, told them that whatever, you know, reported you. It's kind of like someone flagging you on YouTube, you know. If I get, you know, one more flag before one of my strikes fall off my Prophecy Reality YouTube channel, well, they'll just shut down the channel altogether. So it's all arbitrary because all I have to do to violate their things is go live on YouTube with this broadcast. And I'm violating all over the place just because now I'm talking about the, you know, the elections, and you're not allowed to talk about that unless you say, if you're an election denier or whatever. I'm not an election denier. I just say that evil people cheat whenever they get a chance because that's what evil people do. That's why we have police and prisons, because that's for the people that get caught. But most people don't get caught when they cheat and they lie and they steal and they break the law. Very few of them go to prison. We hope the most dangerous ones go to prison. And that's basically what prison is for political enemies and the most dangerous criminals of all. Except now they're letting them out. Yeah, and they're doing that on purpose just to destabilize the nation. Yes, thank you, Antichrist, for that. We know you hate America. We know you need it destabilized so that you can gain totalitarian control over it. You're doing a good job, Antichrist. You and your shadow government. There you go. Okay, let's see. What else do we got here? Oh, we got some more tabs here. Why Trump must... Oh, that's the one. Ukraine war. Okay, I haven't looked at these headlines. Ukraine war planned years ago, documents reveal. Oh, really? Well, that may be an epiphany to some, but for those of that listen to First Amendment Radio, there's no epiphany here, okay? Very little epiphany anywhere going on as far as news. And to the listeners of First Amendment Radio, we are years ahead of the mainstream media. As a matter of fact, sometimes they start talking about, oh, I knew about it. That was 5 years old. But yeah, the Ukraine war. Yeah, we know it began a long time ago. it was planned many years in advance. But anyway, there's an article on Lou Rockwell about that. Archbishop Vigano addresses the March for Catholics. Okay, well, Vigano does videos, and he has a lot of good ideas. However, he still is an idol-worshipping Catholic. I pray that he would become a true Protestant and just protest his way all the way out of the Catholic Church and realize that it is irreformable, as all of the Protestant, all of our Protestant fathers in the 15th or 16th century did. They finally recognize, after suggesting reform, they came to the conclusion that it was irreformable. And I think God agrees with that conclusion, because he wrote all about it in his book. He gave her a special name. Yes, and called her the mother of harlots, that church. Yes. All your feminine organizations in apocalyptic scripture are the church. Either they are an apostate church or they are the true church. Yeah. You can learn about that in The Beast Apocalyptic, who all the characters are, why they're referred to the way they are referred to, and what the scripture says about that. Okay, America in name only. Well, you can judge articles by their title. But yeah, you could pretty much know what that that title says. Proof that the CDC is deliberately ignoring safety signals from the COVID vax. Like, no news, new news there. We all know it's the death shot. If you haven't seen that video yet, let's see, where is that? Is that here? No. Oh, I must have closed that tab. But anyway, it's on the First Amendment Radio or Twitter. First Amendment Radio Twitter page. There's a link to that. Or you can go to Tubi TV, Tubi.tv, Tubi.tv, and you can search for pandemic to, oh, not, no, eugenics to pandemic. Yeah, that's the name of the documentary. Very good. Okay, oh, back to the news here. Let's see what else we got. The censorship temptation. Yes, we have censorship galore going on. Stopping the WHO, camps and medical tyranny with targeted strategies. And, you know, I've been watching some programs on TV, and they're having local, the county that I live in here is, it's not the county. Oh, no, there is some county sponsored, get your COVID vaccine and booster commercials coming on. I'm just going, what? What? These people are dropping dead. And no wonder, you know, 99% of people now are rejecting it. I mean, they're going after that 1% or 1 or 2% or the gullible that are undecided and still trying to instill them fear with fear and still using the same old tactics. Little children can't see their grandma. Oh no, you don't want your sister, speaking to little children, to get COVID. You need to get the vaccine to protect them and all that idiocy. And then some of these drug stores like CVS Pharmacy and such, they're pushing it too still. I guess enough people haven't dropped dead in their pharmacy to get their attention. Yeah. Okay. Well, see, why I would get, definitely would get another strike on YouTube. But I have videos on YouTube that are as strong as this video is against their policy, which they never really tell you what you said. Yeah. They just said, you violated our policy. Neener, neener, neener. We're not going to tell you what you said when you said it. We're not going to point to the minute that it was said. It's just, you're out. You got a strike. And, yeah, you can object to the strike, but we don't care. Yeah. Yeah. That's the way that works. Okay. We own the science and the world should know it. Is the West turning fascist? definitely, when you have the, when you have business or corporations doing the bidding of the state for them, same effect. It's called fascism. Yeah. Fascists are not white people demanding their rights and standing up for their families. That doesn't make you a fascist. These liberals, and you have it all wrong. They don't even know what a fascist is. Okay, let's see. Let's see what else we got here. Okay. Got a few minutes. Okay, next segment. Might as well jump to the next segment. I'm going to look at this CBDC thing and how they're moving ahead with digital ID in America. We're going to talk about it, what they're doing about it, what we can do about it, maybe. Yeah, maybe what we can do about it. I know what I'm going to continue to do about it. Resist at any cost. That's the way that works. Because eventually, you know, you either resist now or you resist later when it's more difficult. Those are your choices. Resist now and learn how to be a resistor, or learn how to resist later when it's much more difficult to become unentangled. That's that. Those are your choices. Okay, I'll be back after this break and some news. Don't go anywhere.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality edition. And in this segment, we're going to look at this bill that is being, I don't know if this just passed or is being offered in Congress, but anyway, the 117th Congress Second Session, S-4528, to establish government-wide approach to improving digital identity and for other purposes. And I guess we'll learn about the other purposes as we read this bill. In the Senate, July 13, 2022, Ms. Sinema and Ms. Loomis introduced the following bill, which was read twice and referred to the Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, a bill to establish a wide approach to improving digital identity and further purposes. I wonder if these two women, one a Republican and one a Democrat, really got together and wrote this bill. I wonder who wrote this bill and gave it to them and asked them to sponsor it. I wonder how much money they made to sponsor this bill. I wonder a lot of things when I start reading documents like this. But be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled. Short title, this act may be cited as the Improving Digital Identity Act of 2022. Findings. Congress finds the following. One, the lack of an easy, affordable, reliable, and secure way for organizations, businesses, and government agencies to identify whether an individual is who they claim to be online creates an attack vector that is widely exploited by adversaries in cyberspace and precludes many high-value transactions from being available online. You know, maybe that's the way it should be. Yeah. Number two, incidents of identity theft and identity fraud continue to rise in the United States. And why is this? Well, because of the internet. It makes it much easier. Yeah, it does. Because you can search and make up stuff, and you know, the internet makes it easier. So, incidents of identity theft and identity fraud continue to rise in the United States, where more than 293 million people were impacted by data breaches in 2021. Wow, that's like, you know, we have 320 million people in the United States. If 293 million were impacted by data breaches in 2021, that means almost everybody in the whole United States was impacted by data breaches. But here's the fact is, I was impacted by a data breach. Gab, you know, that they got their data was attacked and it became available so people could learn, I guess there were people that could learn my Gab login from that data breach. Okay. So their little statistic here isn't really saying a lot because it's meaningless. I didn't even change my Gab login because I really don't care. You know, like if someone's going to target me. And plus if there's millions of people in these data breaches, they're really going to target my Gab account as if Gab means anything to me anyway, because I'm shadow banned there as even more than I am on YouTube or Facebook. Seriously. Because of the church militant. Because the church militant on a lot of these alternate sites has become dominant and predominant in saying who gets to be seen and who doesn't, because they're there early. They have lots of money because, of course, they're sponsored by the Antichrist. They think they're the church militant, but they're just a tool, another tool of the Antichrist. Pope Francis doesn't care if they don't like him or not. He's still the Pope. And they're still worshiping idols. So he's happy with that. And besides that, when he gets his inquisitions and starts putting people to death, well, he can kill all the rebellious Catholics. As after all, they did that in history too. If some good Catholic people had a compunction of remorse or sympathy for their persecuted and murdered Reformed neighbors or Protestant neighbors, and they tried to help them, well, they might just be killed themselves, because many of them were. I mean, inquisitions don't just work against those that are specifically called heretics, but it works against all good people in the Catholic Church who might have some sympathy for people being persecuted because their faith is different than the official church faith, than the whore church faith. So, and that's why God calls his people to come out of her. And so that's where the militant church and there it is going. As a matter of fact, before we get deeper into this, I have to say that I was listening to David Knight yesterday, and he had Michael Voris on. Who's Michael Voris? You ask. So I guess if you ask, I must tell you who Michael Voris is. And Michael Voris is the leader of a group that's called the Church Militant. And he published a video here lately. This video is called Proddy Jesus. Okay. Anyway, Michael Voris is the Church Militant, and he, in this video, he misrepresents and demonizes the Jesus of the Bible as being a different Jesus than the Catholic Jesus. And he's absolutely correct about the Catholic Jesus being different than the Jesus of the Bible, because they are two different Jesuses. Anyway, if you saw this video, the Prodi Jesus, boy, this thing is really, I guess it's because I'm streaming that it's not playing very well. And for YouTube, that's unusual. But anyway, I'm going to put this in the chat room just so you can learn who the church militant is and what they believe. And I'll put a link to this in the chat room. Anyway, I sent this to David Knight because I have regular communication with him by email anyway. Paste. And he got back to me, and after watching Prodi Jesus, and said, I had no idea. He says, I'll never have this guy on again. And I don't blame him, because, you know, he just got an education. Plus, this guy wants to bring back the Inquisition. So this is the church militant. Now, if I say the church militant, you think, all right, the church rising up. But no, he's taken the name church militant, and he's commercialized it, and he's claimed it for himself. And his website is the www.churchmilitant.com. And I only give you this information, not so you can go there and join him, but so that you could see, because you're Reformed and you're Protestant, or at least you're evangelical, and, but you're not an idol worshiper, okay? Yeah, you do believe in the Jesus of the Bible and not the Catholic Jesus, because the Catholic Jesus is still on the cross and still being crucified daily by their wafer, because their wafer becomes Jesus and they crucify him continually. That is the real heretical doctrine out there. And also, like, if you go to the Church Militant website or YouTube page and you search Inquisition, you'll see that they have these videos. Inquisition Time, The Vortex, Bring Back the Inquisition, Inquisition in Reverse. Because the first one, they think they'll first use the Inquisition against all the who they call rebellious Catholics, you know, like Pope Francis and other people that want to do away with the Latin Mass and stuff like that. They want to go back to traditional Catholicism, but they don't realize that when the Inquisitions come back, that yes, they'll first go after those that refuse to participate in the Mark of the Beast. And they'll do things like what they're doing in the military, you know, pushing true people with true convictions, mostly Christians, out of the military. So there's an Inquisition going on there. But then when they're done and they're through with that, then they'll go all against, they'll do all their rebels in. Because traditionally, during the 1260-year overt reign of the papacy in Western Europe, you know, depicted in the scripture as the little horn power and the man of sin, they will go after rebellious Catholics, you know, Catholics who have a true sympathy for their neighbors who may be persecuted, killed, their children's heads being dashed against the rocks, things like that happening. And these true believers in Christ that are in the Catholic Church wanting to help their neighbors escape, kind of like Christians helped the Jews escape during the Nazi era in Germany. Yes. Well, then they will kill them too, because they will be aiding and abetting. And a lot of Catholics suffered for aiding and abetting. Yeah. So that's your church militant. So and you'll see them dominating. Like I said, places like Gab. And so anyway, I sent these links to David Knight, and he said, I'll never have that guy on again. He said, I had no idea, you know, cause they appear nice. And I told him the problem is, you know, that a lot of people may be seduced or sucked in to the Catholic belief in idolatry. And so we should in no way promote these people whatsoever. And he agreed with me. So And I figured he would, just from listening to David Knight. You can learn about people from things they say. Unlike True News, which did their greatest reset. Don't get me wrong. True News has a great news program sometimes. But a lot of time their focus is just wrong. But anyway, I heard it out of Rick's own mouth that he does not believe that the Pope is the legitimate Pope, that the true Pope is an exile. So that means he's a Catholic, if he believed that, because he's certainly not a Protestant. And I saw him a few times use the term Protestant, not in very friendly terms, but as it was a distasteful slur several times. Then I watched the Greatest Reset movie, which they published and finally released on their website a couple weeks ago. And you go watch it, but you already know everything that's in it, except for about 25% in the middle of the movie, which is an apology for Catholicism in the Catholic Church. And that's the alarming part about the Great Reset movie, is that it presents Catholicism and a whole lot of Catholics in that glowing light that you would think that, yes, this is the true traditional church, and they're against the Great Reset, when the opposite is the truth. The Antichrist and his shadow government, the Great Reset, and all of these things that are going on are their operations, including Zionism, okay? Including Israeli Zionism, is one more shadow government operation of the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. There you go. Okay, let's get back to our Senate bill here. that was a good rabbit trail to get off on there, just to get that information out there. So it doesn't mean we don't fish in their ponds like Gab and stuff, but I wouldn't put too much stock in them until they realize who the Antichrist, and see how that the Antichrist and his shadow government are using even their platforms to cast that great apostate church in a better and more favorable light in any community that is rebelling against the mainstream world, New World Order, which actually they are absolutely behind. It's quite an operation the Antichrist has going on out there, to have deceived the whole world, practically speaking. Okay, incidents of identity theft and, yes, and fraud continue to rise in the United States, where more than 293,000 people were impacted by data breaches in 2021. Since 2017, losses resulted from identity fraud have increased by, I love this, 333%. Nice round number there, don't you think? They had to put it in there. 333%. You know, I'm surprised they didn't say 333 million, but have increased by 333%. And, yeah, you know what 333% is? Yeah. Yes. One third. Or something. Anyway, let's see. In 2020, those losses totaled $56 billion. Wow. $56 million. Yes, $56 billion. The director of the Treasury Department Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, we call it FinCEN, okay, has stated that abuse of personally identifiable information and other building blocks of identity is a key enabler behind much of the fraud and cybercrime affecting the United States today. So what they're saying is that we need more of what people are taking advantage of to commit cybercrimes. We need more digital stuff to take place online. Trustworthy digital identity solutions can help give underbanked and unbanked individuals better access to digital financial services. So what they're really saying is that people are not being included, like me. Yeah. I'm underbanked and unbanked individual. I can't have a bank account in my own name. They won't allow it. As a matter of fact, it was like 15 years ago, I became the president of the local irrigation district. And so I went down to the bank so that I could sign on the accounts. But they said, well, we can't allow you to sign on the accounts because you don't have a social security number. So, well, I'm not going to get one to sign on the accounts. And so I left the bank, but the bank account, you know, was still there. And guess what I did? I signed checks on the bank account and they got cashed anyway. That's just a nice little funny anecdote of something that happened in history. And even though they refused to allow me to be the signer of the account, I was the president and I signed on the accounts anyway. Yeah. But anyway, oh no, they might come against me now for fraud because they have me on camera. Oh no, Joe Biden said he committed fraud and broke the law and said it before the whole world and they ain't going after him. So I guess I can let this little bank fraud slip. Yeah, they're coming for me someday. I hope it's later rather than sooner. Okay, trustworthy digital identity solutions can help give underbanked and unbanked individuals better access to digital financial services through innovative delivery channels that promote financial inclusion. Well, thank you, Bill Gates, because I believe that's who is really behind this, is Bill Gates. As a matter of fact, he's been in the news as being behind this in the last week. Again, it's come up again. And it keeps coming up again and again. That's because he keeps bringing it up by throwing money at it. You know, he's such a philanthropist. You know, everything he does is for the benefit of the people on planet Earth. You know, and if he can't kill them and ID them, and that's really what it's all about. So they want all the unbanked and underbanked people to now participate, making it even more difficult to resolve the issue that they say they want to resolve, which is all bunk anyway. I don't believe them for a minute. Okay, the inadequacy of current digital identity solution degrades security and privacy. Really? Okay, so all you have to do is give up all of your privacy, put all of your stuff on the internet, and you will be more secure. And that way, the security you'll have because of your privacy is now the government can go in, and when they don't like what you say, they can revoke your banking privileges immediately, as well demonstrated by what happened in Canada. And what continually goes on are people are being debanked continually. You feel secure yet before giving up your privacy? And do you believe them when they say it degrades security and privacy for all people? Does that mean that they're going to stop PayPal from debanking people? Is that the kind of security they're talking about? That when you give up your privacy and make it more digital so the government can scrutinize you even better? Because that's what it's all about. Do you feel secure now? Yeah. Is your privacy secure? You know, there's this service out there. You give them your social security number and they protect you, right? Because people, by using your social security number, they're stealing your identity. But what if your identity is not in a social security number? What if your identity is in Christ? Yeah, they can't steal that from me. As a matter of fact, I don't have a social security number because if I did, I would want to sell it. Yeah, or change it. Let me change the numbers around. Yeah. Do I have to get a copyright on my number to protect it so that other people can't use my number? Oh, it's not really my number. It's the government's number. Yeah, LifeLock, that's the one. And there are a couple other others out there like that, Dale. But it's not my number. It doesn't belong to me. If it was my number, then I would own it, and I could change it or sell it or alter it or do away with it altogether. Could cut it up into pieces and throw it in the trash. But it's not my number. It's not your number. Never will be. It cannot be. But you can believe it is. Do you believe it? Not for a minute, I hope. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And studio cam is on, and we are in the chat room. So if you're able to come on over and say hi in the chat room. Otherwise, just keep listening where you're at. And this likely is a rebroadcast if you're not listening on Wednesday morning when we do this program live once a week. Now, we've been talking about the Improving Digital Identity Act of 2022. And number six here, the inadequacy of the current digital identity solutions degrade security and privacy for all people in the United States. Do they? Do you feel, is your security and privacy degraded by the inadequacy of digital identity solutions? Well, these two gals are proposing this legislation. I don't know who wrote it. Probably got it out of Georgetown University. We know that shadow government university that rules the world for the Antichrist in Washington, D.C. anyway. You know, it's kind of interesting when you look for who wrote this. Where did they get this from? We're not telling, but I'm sure there's a trail to follow somewhere. But anyway, is it inadequate? That seems adequate to me. I mean, they're able to unbank people at the drop of a hat. Cut off their credit card accounts, their bank accounts, their digital money accounts, and just even steal their money now. Yeah, because they changed the terms of service. If you say something they don't like, they can fine you now. At least that's what David Knight was saying in the broadcast earlier this morning. You can listen to it again this afternoon. We replay that broadcast at 2 p.m. Pacific time, so make sure you listen to it. But I like this sentence. And next generation solutions are needed that improve security, privacy, equity, and accessibility. Equity? Do you know what equity means? Yeah. Equity means that things being equal between people, because the people aren't equal. You know, it's like if you have, oh, say 5% blacks and 60% whites and 20% Mexicans. Well, they all need equity because equal rights aren't good enough, because the people with the smaller populations, they want equity. So like if there are 100 job openings, they think they should have half of them. Not according to their population. See, and also equity. That also means that if I'm woke and you don't like my wokeness, that I can bully you into celebrating my wokeness. And if you do not, the solution is that we unbank you and kick you off the internet and shut you up. Yeah, that's equity. That's the new definition of equity today. And that's how it's being applied in the in legislation today. So anytime you see the word equity, that's what it's all about. You don't like your children being taught transgender or maybe even being subject to transgender? We'll send the FBI to your house, and we'll take care of you. Oh, you don't like killing babies? Yeah. Well, how about if we raid your family in the middle of the night? We know you were acquitted or the case was thrown out, but we've decided to reactivate it and persecute you anyway. That's equity. That's what equity means now in the law. So they're going to improve security, privacy, and equity. Yeah, they're going to improve their access. See, accessibility comes last. Their accessibility to your security, privacy, and equity is going to be totalitarian control, because that's what the Antichrist needs. When you read Revelation chapter 13 and the last couple verses there, it screams totalitarian woke governmental style. It screams fascism, and that's what's going to be required to carry it out. Yeah. And number seven here, I like this one. government entities as authoritative issuers of identity in the United States say, did the government give me my identity? Did they issue my identity to them? Well, you know, whoever issues the identity is the owner of what they identify. Yeah, that's true. God identifies me. I identify myself in Christ. I belong to him. As a matter of fact, Jesus purchased me with his blood. That's right. So I definitely belong to him. The United States didn't purchase me with anything. Okay. As a matter of fact, the United States refuses to give me identity. And neither does the United States government, corporate, refuses to give me an identity because I applied for one. And they said, well, you know, we're only giving government IDs to socialists. And if you are, for those that have not refused socialism, and I'm definitely a refuser of socialism, I refuse to participate in socialism because I recognize the contract as something that is unlawful for me to participate in. Okay? That's my religious belief. Okay? That the Social Security contract is unlawful for a Christian to participate in. If you read the law and you read what it's about and how it works, It's not a pension program or an insurance program. It's neither of those under the law. It qualifies as neither. As a matter of fact, it would be unlawful. It has to be a tax and it has to be welfare. That was decided by the United States Supreme Court. Okay. What it is and what they say it is, well, you may believe it's two different things. You may justify it and justifiably before God. I don't know. See, I stand only before God on my behalf. There's only one mediator between you and God. It's not me. It's Jesus. So it's just me and Jesus and God the Father. When I stand before God, just like when you stand before God, it's you and Jesus and God the Father. He is your mediator. Yeah, that's right. He's your man at law. And he bought me with his blood, so I belong to him. So there's my identity. The government has nothing to do with my identity in Christ. And I refuse. And they say, unless I identify as a socialist, they refuse to give me identification, government identification. Both the state of California floating over the land over here, that fiction that floats over the land. Yeah, the problem with fictions that float over the land, corporate governments, is they have real flesh and blood people in them that some of them may bang your head in and throw you in prison. Yeah. Whether they have a lawful position to do it or not. I mean, we have to deal with reality here, folks. We have to deal with it. But anyway, that's what you're... When they say that these things are needed to improve security, privacy, equity, and accessibility, you notice accessibility comes last. They want to make you think that you will be more secure, you will have more privacy. And of course, all of the woke people are going, no, they love equity. Yeah. Because they get to take stuff from you or bully you into celebrating them. And if you don't, well, then you can be doxxed or whatever. And accessibility. But I say the accessibility part is they have access. The evil people in government that get their power from the dragon, as the Bible says, they have improved accessibility to your security, your privacy, and they will enforce their version of equity on all the people of the earth. Now, does this still sound like a good idea to you? This is a law document, and they can write the enforcement provisions of it are different, but any way they want, because that's all administrative once they pass a law. government entities as authoritative issuers of identity in the United States are uniquely positioned to deliver critical components that address deficiencies in the digital identity infrastructure of the United States and augment private sector digital identity and authentication solutions. State governments are particularly well-suited to play a role in enhancing digital identity solutions used by both public and private sectors, given the role of state governments as issuers of driver's licenses and other identity documents commonly used today. Now, the state of California won't give me any identification whatsoever until I go down and apply for a Social Security number. And even though they've lost in court on this case, they still refuse to even obey the courts. And they just cold shoulder you now. They just ignore you as if you're not there. And that's what the federal government's doing to me now, or has been doing since 2016 when I applied for a passport. Because I had this idea that me and my daughter were going to go on a trip to another country and we would have to fly. Well, I can't fly. I'm not free to fly. They've ripped me off of my liberty, my freedom, to travel in the United States. They have revoked my right to travel. I could become an illegal border crosser like the millions that they're letting in to the United States every day. I wonder how other countries would like that if I illegally left the United States and entered their countries. Yeah, I'm not going to put much stock in that. But actually, the case has been won against the State Department of State, but they are stonewalling me. Or give me the cold shoulder. Stonewalling, I guess, is a better word. They're stonewalling me and not issuing my passport, even though I paid for it many years ago. They're just ignoring me totally. Yeah. So to get their attention, I guess I have to legally, and you have to do it in Washington, D.C. So I'm not going to Washington, D.C. I can't fly there because they won't let me on a domestic flight. Yeah. So I'm certainly not going to drive there because how many states do I have to go through without a driver's license to get there? And they might not even let me on a bus or Amtrak, which I don't want to do it anyway. So they're just saving me a lot of trouble. The way I look at it is if they don't give me ID, then I really don't need it. Yeah, that's that. That I really must not need. And that's what I tell the police when they stop me on the highway or on the city streets there. I just tell them, you know, I have a document. It's called Declaration or Notice of Right to Travel and Declaration of Repentance. That's my legal document. Two-page, double-spaced, outlining my case. And they always let me go. Yeah. Because I'm trouble. I don't give them trouble. I'm as sweet as pie to them. Yeah. Is it because I use it as an occasion to witness? You know? You have to. That's the way that works. So I'm going to continue what God has called me to do. And others can do whatever it is that they feel God requires them to do. Let's see, what else? Public and private sectors should collaborate to deliver solutions to promote confidence. And of course, this is a big Bill Gates thing, yeah. Private sector drives much of the innovation around digital identity in the United States and has an important role to play in delivering digital identity solutions. Yes, thank you, Bill Gates, and all of the people that he's paying to help them to further this. Because he definitely wants to identify everyone that's left on the earth after after they're finished with their eugenics kill shots, which seem now to be never ending. Yes, like I said, I've seen commercials regularly while watching some television programs, perfectly good television programs that nothing wrong with them, but they have these commercials that are telling people to go down and get the booster COVID shot. Going, wow, deaf people aren't dead and dying already from the most dangerous so-called vaccine ever created by mankind. Yes, I am become an anti-vaxxer totally. Because on the schedule in 1960s and 50s and 60s, there were 3 shots. And that was for school-age children. And now they're going to be adding, many, the COVID and other flu shots with mRNA technology in them. Because that's the new thing. And they're trying to get them added to the childhood vaccine schedule. So what is there like? There's over 200 shots now. And they start as young as birth. And they go up through. And no wonder our children are so sick and dying. And we have all of these vaccine injured diseases and maladies galore. And now they just want to give them the kill shot so they'll all die young if they don't die immediately, which some do. People are wising up. People are not that stupid. And maybe it took more time for some people to, if they didn't die, to become unstupid and realize, you know, like I said, the thing is that 98% of people now are rejecting the boosters. And some of them have said, wow, finally. Yes, and that means that 50% of those 98% that are rejecting boosters even rejected the shot in the first place. But half of them took the first shots, the first or the second or the third. I know people who took the first one and never took another one. Because of what they felt or what they started to see around them. Some of them may have got placebos. They were the lucky ones who got the placebo shots when they first rolled out. I think after a while, they just quit the placebos altogether. The placebo had the effect of people running around going or believing that I took it. Nothing happened to me. Yes. And this is where they call me a conspiracy theory. But actually, there were reports in the news that many people who had the shots and researched them discovered that many of the so-called shots when they were rolling out were actually nothing but saline solution. So my conspiracy theory is that was done on purpose because it was done. And if you think it was accidental, you are the conspiracy theorist. Because you think that could accidentally happen. I think you're the reality denier. Yes, you are the denier if you believe that was just accidental or just happened by accident. No, I believe it confirms any conspiracy theory and turns it into fact. Okay, well, I'm burning through this hour. Let's see. The Bipartisan Commission on Enhancing Cybersecurity has called for the federal government to create an interagency task force. Let's spend billions of dollars. You know, they love this. And, you know, up there on the Hill, they love any legislation. Every time it calls for a federal government to create a task force, all they say is ching, 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 you know, because it's graft and corruption time, because they get to pay their friends and little companies and, you know, front organizations lots and lots of money from which they're going to get kickbacks, or they can pay kickbacks to the people that they owe that got them into government. So it's cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. The government doesn't need to do any of this stuff. It's all happening anyway. Let Bill Gates take his billions and fund it all by himself. But no, he's wiser than that. He can pay people to get the government to do it and also to pass laws and have and declare pandemic emergencies so that he can double his wealth from $100 billion to $200 billion in 1 year. Yeah. So that's what's really going on out there. When the Antichrist, the more corrupt your government is, the more in control of it, you know, the Antichrist shadow government has over it. The more corrupt, the more totalitarian, the more the Antichrist is in control. Just get over it. That's what it is and the way it is. And that's not a conspiracy theory. That is a fact. Okay, because really, the greatest conspirator of all time is none other than Satan himself. He is the spirit that is behind the dragon that gives the power to all of these governments, all of these beast governments that are ruling in the earth. Read the Bible for yourself. And if you need some help with it, well, look on the post that I sent out. At the bottom, you'll see, this is the post. And if you scroll down, you'll see the Revelation Enigma Decoded, all three books in one volume. So that will be The Beast Apocalyptic, the Exposition of the Revelation, and The Millennium Question, all in one volume and one book there, only available at Lulu Press. So go to my website, press on the button, and it will be at the bottom of all my posts indefinitely, that link. So if you're looking for it, it will be in the bottom of each post. And if I get time, I'll put it at the top of the column there, but I haven't done that yet. But it is at the bottom of the post there. So, and let me see. Let me copy the link there. Copy link. There we go. And I'll put it in the chat room right now so that anybody can check it out. Yeah, it's $33, says Dale, because he got it. And $33. But yeah. And out of the $33, $12 of that. Well, it's $26. The rest, I guess, goes to shipping and taxes. And so it's $26 plus shipping and taxing. And maybe if enough people ask me to, I'll put it on. But I only get $12 a copy to support what we're doing here. And if I had to live on and support the work I'm doing here on books alone, you would see nothing. The program would end like it's ending right now and would not come back. So anyway, thank you all for showing up, and may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time.